The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
You're listening to Business is Boring, a podcast that reckons it's anything but. Business is Boring is brought to you by Spark Lab, offering inspiration and practical advice to help businesses find their edge. To hear more about Spark Lab, including details about the latest events, workshops, and business tools, visit sparklab.co.nz. And now, here's your host, Simon Pound.
Listening to Business is Boring, a podcast that reckons it's anything but. Business is Boring is made by The Spinoff with help from Callaghan Innovation, New Zealand's innovation agency. Here's your host, Simon Pound.
Nearly every morning, thousands of people around New Zealand and the world start their day with a workout led by a mum of four boys from her Christchurch lounge. Lisa Fong gets up and runs a Facebook Live off her iPhone, leading a short, sharp 20-minute workout using just body weight. The accessible workouts and friendly, inclusive approach for only 10 bucks a month with no lock-in have boomed. Now, a worldwide success with her sisters involved, Lisa Fong's Move It Mama is a thriving business with a great community and just the kind of positive realness we could all use a little bit more of. Joining us on the show to talk fitness, the journey, sparkle, lifting people up and keeping it real, founder Lisa Fong joins us now by Zoom from Christchurch. Kia ora, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, so tell me how it all started with Move It Mama. From turning up to school, was it turning up to school in activewear?
Oh, that sounds so funny. No, okay, so it pretty much honestly started like that. Like, you know, I would just go to school pick up and I'd look like I'd done some exercise. And a couple of the mums were just like, oh, and I would have all my kids. So I had, my big boy had just started school pretty much. And like, I had three other little ones, like, you know. And they would say, like, have you been to the gym? Like, and I was like, no, like, I wouldn't, that would be too, like, logistical nightmare for me to try and do that. And so I just said, oh, I just exercise at home. Like, I just do a 20-minute workout. I just get the kids all their snacks. I wait for their lunch or something, and then I just do it while they're watching me. And, like, because I was so passionate about the fact that, because I've always been into sport and the gym and that, and then suddenly, like, I was exercising at home and seeing, like, the same kind of results of my brain was feeling refreshed and I was getting the workout in and I was feeling fit and strong, that it made me think, like, why bother going to the gym? So I just do it at home. So that's why it wasn't just, like, a little bit of lunges. It was actually a proper decent workout. And so I would just say, I just exercise at home. And they were all a bit like, because a lot of people didn't really know back then, a lot of people really weren't really exercising at home, you know, like, so if you exercised at home, it'd be just going for a run. It wouldn't be like actually doing it. Maybe some people had a gym in their home, but not really, it wasn't really common. And so they kind of didn't know what I meant. So I said, you can come over if you want and I'll show you. And these girls weren't, I remember them very clearly because I still see them. These women weren't really sporty or anything, so they kind of just didn't really know what I did. So I said, come over. And I remember the Wednesday morning they came over and they had two of them, there was two, and they, one bought their toddler, a little girl, and then one bought her baby or something. And so we stood outside my driveway and I made them bring a mat, like, but you don't have to have a mat. Well, maybe one didn't have a mat. And anyway, and I took them to this workout and I know that they like died, and I was like, oh god. And but they were shocked that they could do something for 20 minutes or whatever how long and actually get really sweaty and make them feel the benefits that exercise make you feel, and they could do it with the kids around and that. And so that day they were on a high and they were like, can we like set up a private group on Facebook and you could post motivational kind of stuff. And like, I was like, okay. So I thought, this is cool. Like throughout my motherhood career kind of thing, I'd go to play groups and I've always been into kind of wanting to feel good and make others feel good. And I just used to see so many mums like totally lost their sparkle. It just made me think exercise helps you become confident again. And so it was like, oh, this is kind of setting up this private little group and having two mums in it would be real cool just to help them. So I did that. And then, like I said, come around, you know, in a few days' time and we'll do another workout together. And so they did that. And then like a week later it rained and we had a very small house and we had six of us in the house and it was like 90 squares and it was tiny. And we had a garage completely full of crap. And it rained and I said to them, there's nowhere for us to work out today, but I could do it through that Facebook Live thing on that group that we've created. And I was like, I've never done that before, but I think maybe you can watch me and we can just do it together anyway. And you can leave your kids in at home. And so because this is 3.5 years ago now. And so I did that. And then honestly, by the next day, I had like 200 people in the group because they had told their friends and then like their friends in the school ones. And like, it just was so funny. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was quite weird because like, people were seen inside my house that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know these people. And I was like, why is this good? And then people would start doing the work. And so then I thought, okay, well, maybe this is every Wednesday I'll do the workout through this forum and then other people can do it. And that's how it started.
That's so cool. And that kind of idea of, I mean, it must have been amazing as, I mean, we had 3 under 5 for a little while and that was bananas, but 4 under 5, and you know, there's just always something. And even finding that 20 minutes you know is kind of an amazing outcome of will. And
well, you've got to be organized, don't you?
Yeah.
And like you've got to try and put it at the forefront of your day. Like, it's actually more important than making cookies for afternoon tea, you know. It's more important than cleaning up the toys. You need to do it. And that was always my thing, is that like, I can do all those things much better and much more positively if I can just get a workout in.
Yeah, and if you can set them up with a packet of raisins. And,
An apple. And I used to try and make them, like, I'd wait till they were hungry or I'd, like, kind of starve them a little bit and be like, because I really wanted 20 minutes. And, I mean, in the early days it was mental in the fact that a lot of the times they were, at the beginning, they were, you know, annoying me and nagging me and wanting me. But I just persevered with it and I taught them that 20 minutes isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. Mummy will be done. And like, my sisters used to send me workouts to do. They were living in Sydney at the time and they were like 28 minutes. It's like, sorry, don't have time for that. I can only do 20. Because it was like the perfect time frame that the kids can cope. And like, if they had fights or arguments, it was a really good reminder for me to ignore that and let them diffuse it themselves. So it was quite good learning for them as well.
Awesome. And when it started, I mean, that's amazing that, you know, overnight there were 200 people on the group kind of thing. It didn't start, though, as a business, did it? Like, so you had this group of 200 people all following what you were up to. How did it turn into a business?
So I did it. I just got the biggest thrill doing this because, like, we were on one income and we had lots of kids and we were, you know, trying hard to get ahead. And I was that kind of person that I felt so good about doing this. Like, people were writing to me that I didn't know, like, oh, you're just changing my life. Like, you're helping me so much. Thank you. I need to pay you. And I'm like, no. It just feels so good doing this because we don't have that money to, like, for my friends with new babies. Like, you know, I couldn't buy a really good gift or I didn't have time to cook meals. And I thought it was a real cool thing for me to do. I'm getting my workout in as well, but then I'm sharing it and helping other people at the same time. So I felt so good about it. And it was just so, it was like a dream come true for me. I just felt like, it probably sounds a bit ridiculous, but I was really needed. And I loved feeling like that. And I am a teacher, a trained teacher. And so my baby was about to turn one and it had been going for about 6 months and it was big now. There were a lot of people in there, but a lot of the time I I didn't know how many were actually using. You can't tell. I mean, I still have no idea how many people work out with me or the twins, my sisters. But the group was at about 5,000. And so that was like, my husband's quite a private, not private. He's just, he said, whatever makes you happy, just do it, you know, who cares. But he's not, he doesn't really do social media or anything like that. So to get his like support, that it was fine. I just kept going, which is why, and because I'm very open, that didn't bother me that there were 5,000 people probably just watching how I tell my kids off for, because I know that a lot of people like to see that too, like how I deal with toilet training while working out, all this kind of thing. So anyway, I was loving it. I just was loving doing it free. I didn't want, I actually, to be perfectly honest, I was really, people said you need to make this a business, and I was like, oh no, no, that will just take away the joy of it from me. And so I, but then it was actually, people were actually sending me gifts and like emails and letters and cards saying like, you can't go back to teaching. Like we're invested in you now. You're our, we see you, you know, you're our friend. You need to, you make us feel so good. So I had to think, okay, I need to make this into a business. And I have no idea if it's going to work, because I don't really, I know I've got a couple of hundred probably diehards that do the workouts, but I don't really know how to do all the thousands. And so I thought the one thing I need to make sure I do is keep it really cheap, because then I can still have the joy from it. And I didn't want to make it like, people said, you're underselling yourself. And that annoyed me, because I'm like, well, if I put the price up, if I make it expensive, like what people were saying, I'd pay so much more than that. That's what they always said to me. It would stress me out, and I'd think that I'd have to do more and make it better, and it would just take away the joy. And I wanted to break down the barriers. We were one income. Sometimes I couldn't afford a coffee. And so, like, I remember that feeling, and I never want to forget that feeling. And I know that that's, like, the case for a lot of families. So I had to do a bit of research and a bit of thinking, and I just had to make sure whatever I did, it needed to sit right with me. And it had to be sustainable, and I had to always feel good about it. So, yeah, I launched the business about 8 months after. And everyone kept saying, you need to do it, hurry up, people are going to copy your idea. And I was like, no, I don't feel like that at all. If it works, it works. I feel like I'm trusting my intuition. I know that I don't have to do it quickly. If people don't want to do it, then that's fine. And if they do, then that's good. And I knew I had built a lot of trust in a lot of people. Like, I'm very honest and I'm very transparent, probably too much sometimes. Like, I say things that I probably shouldn't say, but that's how I went. The more I open up, the more I get back, I think. The more vulnerable I am with fear and self-doubt and imposter and all that kind of thing, the more support I get back. And so I launched the business in February the 1st, 2018. So, and within the first week, I had 1,000 people, like, actually subscribe and join up.
Wow. And that price you landed on, Lisa, was $10 a month, right? And so that's kind of less than that coffee a week kind of price point. And you've got no lock-in, so people can kind of stop when they want and the like. Yeah. And so, I mean, that does seem like really good, like, value for people. But also, like, with 1,000 people signing up, it probably is quite a nice way to kind of make the, it's quite a nice business straight away, isn't it? That's great.
It was quite incredible, the first, and I got a 7 chart segment, just like, yeah, it was crazy. Because I suddenly got an income overnight, like that day, I suddenly started earning money, and I hadn't earned money for a few years, you know, and yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. And tell me about that, you just mentioned before that kind of, that vulnerability. I mean, part of the remarkable thing, and I had a look at the 7 chart segment you just mentioned there, and you know they showed pictures and talked about just rolling straight out of bed and putting your hair in a ponytail and just like chucking the camera on and going for it.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, and having people into your lounge and the like. Yeah, like there must be mornings that you just kind of don't feel like it. And you just have to get through it. How do you, which is the same for lots of business people, but when it's 10 past 6 in the morning and in your lounge, it's probably 5 times.
Like, I actually hate it.
How do you do it? How do you do it? Yeah.
I hate it. Sometimes I hate it. And sometimes, I'll tell you, and it's really bad because I feel like I tell you a bit more often than I probably should. But, like, people quite like it. Like, so I get out of bed and, like, and I go to the loo, and then I just like put my hair in a ponytail and then go out, and I And it's really there because my sisters are not really like that. They're quite, one of them, Charlotte, one's quite pregnant at the moment, but they're both quite like, we're different. Like, whenever we work out together, I'm like, oh, do we have to? Can't we just have a wine? You know, like, but I know that I need to do it because it will make it so much better. But I'm a bit of a pain. Like, they're really quite motivated and quite positive. And I'm a bit like, the people think that I am positive in my own negative way, I think, because I express, oh, I can't be bothered. I've had a crap sleep, or the kids were awake, and let's just get this done at our own pace kind of thing. Because, and at the end of the day, and honestly, I'm a completely different person than when you see me log on and then you see me at the end. You can just tell the difference in me so much. Like, I'm so much more positive and I can handle it now, you know? So you just have to, I think it's a really good kind of, I think it's really good for people to see it's not always like, yes, I'm going to go and do a burpee 100, you know? I don't really fancy it, but I know it will ultimately be a game changer in my day.
Yeah, and about that, like that relationship to exercise, which seems to be a really big part of kind of why it's so accessible and so many people feel so welcome to be on these workouts with you, is that you do have such a positive attitude to exercise. Yeah, tell me about that role, about that kind of just making you feel good.
Mm. So I feel like it didn't really, the penny hadn't dropped for me. Like, I worked at a gym and I, throughout when I was at university and stuff. And I remember like slaving away on like a cross trainer for half an hour and then a treadmill for 20 minutes. And then I'd do the bike for half an hour to try and get over an hour of cardio. And like, why? What for? Like, what's it going to do, you know? But I remember thinking it was about my body. Like, it was completely like, you know, the longer I do cardio, the like slimmer I'll be or something. But there was nothing about, I mean, I knew, we all kind of know that exercise makes us feel good, but I think a lot of people in society use exercise to lose weight. And I think being so torn and needed by all my kids and having so many children, I could have really like sunk. And I think that I remember it dawned on me one day that I remember having a really bad day and thinking, I've done my workout though, like that's something for me and that's given me this control and how good am I that I've done that for myself. And I remember using that feeling as each day, you know, I don't exercise every day, but I try and exercise 5 times a week, say, and today I'm not exercising and I'm like, oh, I've got to exercise tomorrow, you know, I still think that, but I know how good it's going to make me feel. It will set me up for my Friday. And I think being so torn with all these kids made me realize that it's actually nothing to do with what I look like or my body. It's mentally, it's the strength with my mind. Like, it just helps me. You do a workout and then everything, like, I'll be a bit more proactive. And I needed to be proactive because I had 4 little kids that I needed to be organized. I needed to have everything, you know, the family running and routines and everything. And that helped with like the sense of control that you can kind of take back. So I think from those days, early days of the kids, that's when I kind of realized that I'm actually exercising to feel good, to just run my family life so much more productively and more positively. And I was a better like person when my man would come home. Like, I was such a mole in those days where I wasn't exercising. And like, I just was so much more positive because I felt good about myself. And when you feel good about yourself, you think happy thoughts and you can, you know, you just are a better person.
Yeah. And that idea of sparkle that you have that kind of captures that. Tell us about how sparkle fits in. I love it.
It's really funny because some people are like, oh my God, what, like when they first sort of hear about that. I've had a message I remember a long time ago going, you know, I was really skeptical about you and your sparkle thing because I'm probably a bit painful. People probably do not like me because I'm probably a bit positive. But I really understand, this is from this member, I really get it now because I've found my sparkle again and I know exactly what you're talking about. So when I was like early days mummy, I totally lost my sparkle, like not confident. Like, I wouldn't be able to talk to you. You know, I went from being very confident and able, you know, really talk to anybody. And then I just sort of got myself into a shell, I think, because I didn't feel good. I just didn't feel good. And I was just the mummy and that was all I thought I was, you know. But it was ultimately because I wasn't confident. Like, I lost my confidence, which I think is like your sparkle. But it was one day that I was at a wedding and I had the third child, or maybe the fourth, I can't remember. But I had been exercising and I was confident and I felt like quite good about myself. I think it was after the third, because it was kind of when I realised that, oh my God, the sparkle. And a man started talking to me. I don't know, I can't even remember who it was. But I remember like chatting away with him, thinking, oh, I've got this conversation. Like, I can chat with you now. And I thought, like, oh, you know, a year or so ago, I wouldn't have really known what to say to you. Or I wouldn't have known how to handle that conversation, or I couldn't back my ideas up or string a sentence together. You know, I could only really talk to mums. And that's when I thought, right, I've got my sparkle back and I know how I've got that back. It's because I'm confident. Why am I confident? Because I'm exercising. Like, I don't mean that not people that don't exercise are not confident. But for me, confidence comes from within, and I felt good about myself, and it's because I'm active and I've been exercising regularly. Yeah.
Kia ora, Duncan Grieve here, managing editor and host of another spin-off podcast you should subscribe to if you haven't already. It's called The Fold, and it's about one of my all-time favourite topics, one I've been reporting on and obsessing over for some years now, the chaotic but incredibly exciting and fun New Zealand media industry and scene. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and join me for in-depth analysis and interviews with some of the most influential and interesting players in New Zealand's media.
Tell me how the business has grown, because I mean, it's been quite a short couple of years, but a big couple of years for people doing things at home over the internet as well.
Yeah, so it's 3 years, but 3 years in business. It was in February. We're actually having the party on Saturday night with the go-ahead from Jacinda, it's still growing. It grows every day. We have people that leave a lot as well, though, and that's cool, because often we've had just pretty positive feedback all the time. Like, it's not you girls, it's just me, or you've given me confidence to now go and do like classes outside of my home. Thank you for giving me that confidence. And with lockdown, it was funny because we were like old hat. I never know how to say this, but old hands. You know, like, we were like, we'd been there, done that. So everyone was coming to it. People were like, do Move It Mama. They've been doing this for ages. Because everyone said, oh, lockdown would be so good for you because everyone will want to go online. But all the gyms went online as well. So that was a little bit like, oh, well, it's, you know, that's great, but we're not growing that much. But it definitely did grow. So it's still just steady. We haven't really gone down or anything. So, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and your sister's in the business too now.
Both of them, yes. So Jessica is a personal trainer and she is postpartum and pregnancy trained, and she's currently pregnant with her second. She's 36 weeks pregnant with her second. So Jess and Charlotte lives in Cambridge, so she just taps in Cambridge. So what happened there was, we've always been very sporty family, like sporty girls, and really close friends, and we live together a lot, and we always exercise together as much as we can. And so once I started doing this, I made this closed group. Obviously, I started doing more workouts. So I started with 3 workouts a week. And then when I launched the business, it was 6 workouts a week and I was doing them all. It was just me. And then it got to the point where I was going to like totally burn out, because I don't recommend doing 6. There was 2 beginner workouts in that group. But like, it was so hard. And like, I mean, with all the kids as well. And so often I would just get them to fill in, and it was really funny because I am such an oversharer. I always talked about my sisters and my family, and would put photos of the girls and my brother as well. But the members are very invested and like wanted to meet my sisters too. And so it was really cool. They really opened. They welcomed the girls with open arms, and they're so amazing. And I never had to ever like say, don't say this or do this. You know, they just are totally, they live and breathe the same values as me. So it's just been such a no-brainer to like get them on board. So now I employ them both. But Charlotte does work. She has her own other job. But she just takes the work. She takes 3 workouts a week. And Jess, I actually employ 15 hours a week. So she does a lot of my stuff now too. And she takes 3 workouts as well.
Oh, that's so cool. How important have, you know, you mentioned before the 7 Sharp, and you've been, you know, won some really great awards through, you know, some magazine business awards and had some really great accolades along the way. How important has it been to your growth and your business to get out there and tell the story and to put yourself out there for those awards and the like and to win them?
So I've never actually put myself really, I'm a bit weird, but so I wouldn't go to people and go like, oh, can I do this or can I be on this? So they've always come to me. So Seven Sharp came to me and said, can we do a story on you? And I was like, okay. And then they came back to me and they've done two stories on me. AM Show wrote me an email saying, we'd love to have you on the show. And I just think that's such a thrill that, because I actually hear about businesses going and trying to get these kind of things. And I love the fact that they've come to me and I haven't pushed for that. Which I think is another reason why it just feels so right, because I'm not going out there and trying to get it all. It's obviously I'm doing something right and it's working. It's so amazing for the brand to have, and I love being able to do those kind of, even this podcast, I love being able to talk about my story because it seems so natural for me to speak about it. So I've never had to worry too much about these stories and interviews and magazine articles and stuff because it's just me. I'm Move It Mama, and that what you see is what you get. With the Next magazine, like I won the Next Magazine Businesswoman of the Year, and a person put me forward for that, and yeah, so that was pretty amazing to win that. But I do think like most of our growth comes from word of mouth. So as much as all that is so good, and it you know, it builds up the brand and makes the brand look really good, a lot of the growth is from like people we know and people who know everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were recommended to come on the podcast by a person who's in your community and loves what you do. And I put the call out saying, hey, what are some great stories out there? And so, yeah, like that's the impact you're having on those people in your community coming
right, cool.
right through. And speaking about that community, like how's that surprised you? I mean, you must have people that have, that you've been growing with all of this time and... You're talking before about people sending you gifts and the like. How has the community kind of surprised you, I guess?
Yeah, it has surprised me. And it's so surprising because people always talk about the community and what you've created. And I'm like, so hard for me to like kind of see that. Like, it's so, I just do my, like, I wish I could see it from an outside person's point of view. But we've got this party on Saturday night and people come from all around New Zealand. And I actually, the first year party, I had people come from Australia. But that's real cool. It's really hard for me because I just don't know what it looks like. Like, I just live and breathe it. It's just like, this is just what I do. And I know that it's changed, like, people, I had a message yesterday saying, like, you've changed my life. But I sometimes don't really believe that impact. It's real hard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I guess, like you said before, you can't see everyone on the other side of the Facebook Live.
But people are so nice and forthcoming, and I think what from the early days, I always paid a lot of attention to that. Facebook, I know, like that Facebook Live workout, for instance, I'll always go back and like all the comments and read them. I would never, people are like, do you just like them and not read them? I'm like, no way. Like I read everything, and I always reply, and I always try and give people time, and I always feel, because I've got this big thing about inclusion and like, I just, as a teacher, it was my number one thing. Like, I didn't want anyone to feel left out. And I just have this, that's a passion of mine. And I make sure I try and make people feel included, which is why we, like, introduce different workouts to help other people. Like, you know, we do the big back to basics. We do the pregnancy. We do strength workouts now. We do so much more but right from the beginning, I started with the back to basics because I was doing these four high-intensity workouts. And people were like, I can't even do it. There's no way. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Okay, right. I need to change this. I need to give you something that you can do because everybody can do it. You just have to break it down and regress. But they didn't want to like feel like they couldn't keep up with me. So back to basics is like I'm going slow enough for anybody to keep up with me.
What would your advice be for people who do have something that they're passionate about and they see is so good and they want to share it?
I think if they're passionate about it and they want to share it, then that's the key. They need to be passionate about it. I think you need to be, it's hard. I think my success has been quite open with my struggles and fears and really connecting. Connection is such a huge part of success, I think. I think people need to be understanding and be empathetic. And so all those kind of factors, you know, you can be passionate about something, but it's how you deliver it with authenticity. And the more passionate about something, the more open and honest why you're passionate, and like actually explaining why, will come back, you know, and be, it will help build that brand. I think you need to make sure your brand has been built, like before you try and like, I mean, I never tried went out to make money, and I think that was the key thing as well. Like, I wasn't just like, right, I'm passionate about that, I'm going to do that and make money. Like, I never thought that, and I know that a lot of people do think that, and it's just about money. For me, it was just like, I wanted to share something I was so passionate about, and it's paid off.
Yeah, and that authenticity just totally shines through in, and like so many of the comments that people say about why they love it as well. Yeah, hey,
that's cool. Yeah. Thank you.
And what will success be for you in this venture?
People say to me, like, I hope you get to go do the Move at Mama Party, because then you can really, like, you know, see what you've done. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if I've succeeded. Like, this is such a hard question, because I've got no... So we've got like 4,600 members in Move It Mama. I wouldn't care if it stayed like that forever. Like, as long as I can keep helping people, that's success to me. Like, if I start to get really, like, don't enjoy it, and then it's a bit negative, I think that's when I have to think about that I am not. So I do think it, like, I think it is it's successful. It's changing people's lives. And I need to remember that, because sometimes it's quite hard.
It's 6:10 when the alarm goes off.
Yeah, yeah, and I know, and like, there's been so many like times where something's happened. Like, I don't know, like Dan, my husband and I have talked a bit rude to me, or I've talked rude to him, and then everyone's heard it, and I'm like, oh god. And like, my son, like, top potty trained, and he did a poo, and it landed on the floor. Or like, maybe I've even like done like a fart or something. And there's a lot of, like, sometimes I log off going, oh, why do people even want to watch me? Like, because I just think I'm, like, foul in the morning. Like, I, you know, but, like, I don't know what people say. I got no idea, but clearly it's all right.
Yeah, oh, it's magic. Well, thank you so much for sharing the story. That's founder of Move It Mama, Lisa Fong, and you can find them online and get involved. Thanks so much for joining us to talk today.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
Kia ora. So did I. Absolutely. And thank you very much to Tina Tiller for producing. And thank you all very much for having us along and listening. And yeah, thank you for the great suggestion for Lisa for the podcast. And if there is someone who has a great story that you'd love to hear from on the podcast, please do get in touch and let us know. On Twitter maybe is easiest. It's @Simon_Pound. Cheers.
You've been listening to Business is Boring, presented by Simon Pound, and brought to you by The Spinoff and Callaghan Innovation.
From The Spinoff Podcast Network, that was Business is Boring, brought to you by SparkLab. Make sure you're following Business is Boring wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information on SparkLab, visit sparklab.co.nz. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. The Spinoff Podcast Network.